We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It never gets old here in the partner in crime. I love it.
Good. I'm sitting here watching the Red Sox-Yankees game, and initially, question right off the bat for you, are you sending Aaron Judge? I think that's the question that everybody needs to know because that, oh man, that's just brutal.
No, I mean, there was absolutely no reason for that. There's one out and you're chasing two. If there's two outs, probably. If we're tied with two outs, I'm definitely sending him. But, like, it just makes no sense right there. And I don't know what Phil Nevin was thinking. I don't know if he was like, oh, I don't know if Bogaerts is going to get to this or what. But yeah, it was just weird decision. They also mentioned in the game that the Yankees have been the most thrown out team at home plate this year, tied with the Royals. That could have cost them a home playoff game. And who knows, Stanton's two home runs or two balls off the top of the wall probably get out in Yankee Stadium, and it's a totally different game. So I don't know. This it's not a good look for Phil Nevin.
No, not at all, and I'm in 100% agreement with you. Like, that was the first thing that I said was, why the hell are you sending Aaron? Like, we're obviously not at the game. We're watching it on TV, but when a throw gets, you know, to home plate and the runner isn't even on the screen yet, you know it might have been a bad decision, like, altogether. That's just my thought about it. And you look at it, and it was like Phil Nevin was thinking about it the entire, like, his entire route, he was watching, and then right when Bogaerts got the ball, it felt like it was like, okay, we're going to go. And it was like, what? Like, why are you – like, he made a very late decision to send Judge there. And again, like you said, it probably did cost them – I don't know if it cost them the game, but it cost them at least a close game as we're watching this. You know, here I think it's going to be the bottom of the eighth inning, and it's 6-1, and – I mean, just a huge change in momentum, and as you and I both know, that's the name of the game in postseason, especially with home field advantage and there being fans in the stands. Like, yeah, home field advantage is humongous, and especially in a Yankees-Red Sox game and that big of a rivalry, you knew the Red Sox fans were going to be going nuts, and yeah, it was just, it was tough. It was a tough one to watch, and yeah, I'm with you on that. If I'm at third base, I am not sending him at all. I'm not being that. You need to be 100% that Judge is going to make that home. And Judge is very fast, as we saw. I think that same inning, how Judge got on base, he beat out the infield single to Bogaerts, and Judge is extremely fast, but just not that fast that, you know, I think it was Stanton hit 114-mile-an-hour double off the wall, I think it was, and just, yep. Unbelievable. Like, yeah. I couldn't do that. I'm sorry. Like, I'm a very aggressive base coach at third base, and you know, I've been a third base coach. It's fun. It's very challenging. I'll tell you that. Have you ever been a third base coach before? Like a legit, like, of course. Yeah.
It's, being a head coach, that's kind of your role.
Yeah. No, it's difficult. I got to learn that the hard way in college. You know, it is a difficult thing. But, you know, when you make the right call and it's a bang-bang play and ends up being safe, that's, you know, how that's the gratifying feeling about it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sending him, and it basically cost them postseason. And is Aaron Boone on the hot seat?
I think he was at one point. I think that would be a huge mistake if you're the Yankees to get rid of Aaron Boone. I don't know if there's another guy to go get right now that's going to be better than Aaron Boone. I think he does a really good job of maintaining the clubhouse. I know that's a really tough job. He's got a lot of egos in there. He does a really good job with the fans. I know he was wearing it a lot early when, I think it was like June, that people were saying, oh, the Yankees are out of it. They're not making the playoffs. And, you know, he just does a really good job there in New York. And I think that's a tough job. It definitely is a tough job to be the manager of the New York Yankees. And I think he does an excellent job of that. So I think it would be a mistake. But, you know, the way things are going, it would not surprise me if Aaron Boone gets fired for making the playoffs, which is hilarious being an Angel fan, because we've seen, what, 3 managers in 6 years not make the playoffs?
Yeah, and you mentioned it.
We would throw the guy a parade making the playoffs.
Oh, he would become an automatic hero in Anaheim if anybody made, you know, helped the Angels make it to the postseason. And yeah, you know, you mentioned it. It's the toughest job in baseball, if not in all of sports, minus probably you look at like the Cowboys head coach.
And that's even USC football.
USC, like, yeah, big name football school, that's tough, but yeah, being the Yankees manager, the toughest, you know, job in all of baseball. So, guys, as always, just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, everybody that goes into this. If you want to join us for a podcast, I am more than happy to have you guys on and talk a little bit of Angels baseball once the postseason's over. We'll start getting that going. So if you're listening to this, want to join us for, I think we did the little talking fans segment last year, which was a lot of fun. Just message me on Twitter at @Jared_Timms. I'll get you on. We can talk some Angels baseball, you, me, and Nate. You can vent. You can do whatever you want. You know, keep it R-rated, but I don't mind. And like I said, follow
PG,
us.
PG, not R-rated.
Oh, you're right. No, keep it R-rated. Keeping it R-rated is what makes this fun. Yeah, keep it PG. Wow. Yeah, not R-rated. R-rated would be bad. Actually, no.
I had to correct you there. You know, I didn't want us to get in trouble for something stupid.
Talking Halos. What would it be? Talking Halos After Dark would be the R-rated version.
Yeah.
that'd be kind of interesting. So maybe that's another. Maybe that's for a different podcast. But yeah, it'd be fun to have some fans on talking a little Angels baseball with us. We can, you know, go through it together. You know, so and give us guys 1 second to pay the bills. What's going on, everybody? I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you'll get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as other hosting sites would charge you just for the initial setup fee. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sporting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. And now, back to talking Halos. All right, enough with all the introductions. Let's get this show rolling. We have a lot of, well, a good amount of Angels baseball news, per se. I know we talked a little bit of postseason, and as we are doing this podcast, it's the bottom of the eighth inning of the wild card game. The Yankees are down 6-1. We'll kind of see where it goes. I have a feeling the Yankees are going to make it somewhat of an interesting game here with the Red Sox bullpen, but let's talk some Angels baseball. And the first thing that I want to bring up, Perry Minasian had his end of the year press conference with everybody, and we'll just kind of go through that in a sense. I basically have all of Sam Blum's tweets up right now because he did a very good job with, you know, the, I guess, play-by-play of this press conference. And yeah, we'll just kind of start where this goes. And the first thing I want to talk about is Perry Minasian didn't comment on any of the coaching staff on the MLB team, though Joe Maddon did say that he would like to have everybody back. Nate, I don't know, initial thoughts on this with the coaching staff? Do we think that they did an okay job? Like, I don't know. You know, that's what. How much can a coaching staff do, really? You know,
I would be really shocked if everyone returns. Honestly, I think they never technically took the interim tag off our pitching coach, Matt Wise. They never, and I don't know. I feel like with Joe, it's a lot of guys that he trusts, and there's some good things to that, and there's some bad things to that. And I think that Perry wants to come in and say, like, hey, Joe, like, I understand that this is your ship, but, like, we're not winning. So we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to make some changes. And, you know, you can either jump on board or, you know, we can find somebody else who will be on board. And I think that's really the way that he's going to look at this, because this is Perry's one real shot to be a GM. I mean, you've seen only one other Angels GM in the past, what, three, get another GM job. Jerry DePoto is the last one, I think. But, yeah, for the most part, these guys are getting one shot, and they're not doing well because, you know, maybe they're not making all the decisions. And so I think that's a big thing for Perry, is he really wants to make decisions here. And I think the biggest thing in life is one of those where it's like, hey, you don't want to live with regrets of doing it someone else's way. You want to do it your own way. And I think Perry has really shown that through the trade deadline. I don't know if it was really shown too much during the offseason, but during the draft and during the trade deadline, it really looked like it was Perry's way or the highway. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that if you're going to be put in a position like this, you got to do that at some point.
Yeah, there's got to be a good communication between a GM and a manager, though. I think that it needs to be very good, like perfect communication. And it doesn't need to be exact communication. Like, it doesn't need to be good communication. It can be bad communication. You know, like, people are going to get into arguments if you're together for 162 games, you know, 8-9 months out of the year. You're going to get into arguments, and sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're good, and it makes people stronger and it makes people, you know, get fired and leave. So yeah, I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, the first name that comes to mind when it comes to pitching coach, I mean, there's a couple. You've mentioned it before.
You know who mine is.
Jared Weaver, yes, 100%. Like, he, to bring that in would be fantastic. I don't know if it ever happens. I just don't, you know, I don't know what kind of relationship that Weave has with the Angels. It just doesn't, it seems like if, you know, that was going to happen, it would have already happened. And I don't know. That's kind of just my two cents about it. And that's fine, you know. But the next name that comes to mind, and I don't know where he stands and if he would even want to, you know, take a step down. But Bud Black, you know, would make a ton of sense to me.
That was going
to
be my next one.
Yeah. Bud Black, if he gets let go by the Rockies, which it doesn't seem like he's going to, because did any managers even get fired? I feel like a lot of managers get fired like the day after.
I've seen two.
Did two get? Okay. I was going to say, I didn't.
One and a half.
Okay.
One and a half. I saw Jason, yes, Tingler. It looks like he was fired for San Diego. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like Luis Rojas of the Mets will not be returning. His contract was technically up, but, you know, fired.
Yeah, no, no, no. Like I said, it wasn't like, was it the Socia year or was it, I think it was the Socia year where it felt like a lot of teams got rid of their managers. So, I don't know. I don't think that Bud Black's going anywhere in Colorado. I sure as heck would want out of Colorado if it was me, but that's just me. And, you know, like I said, it'll be kind of interesting. And update on the game here, guys. Giancarlo Stanton just went yard, so 6-2 with one out. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. So, but back onto the coaching staff. Yeah, the Angels definitely need to get some type of pitching coach in there, even if it's a Mickey Callaway type of guy, which I don't know if it will be. I don't know whose decision that really was to bring in Callaway, but it's hard to say that, you know, they knew kind of what was going on with that whole situation. So next thing on our list, Sam mentioned that Paramanasian said pitching will be the main priority this offseason, of course. But, Nate, the Angels are also in dire need of a shortstop. Do you have any names off, you know, the top of your head that you can think of that might make a little bit of sense or that you'd like to see wearing Angel red next year?
Well, I'll believe the pitching thing when I see it, when they actually, you know, go get real pitching and not, you know, 1 year, 34, 32-year-olds coming off a down season. Like, if I see that again, then this is a joke and this organization deserves to get fourth and fifth place every year like they've been. Shortstop-wise, we talked about this a little bit off the record today. Obviously, you would love to see a Trevor Story, a Corey Seager. I would not personally like to see Javier Baez. I wouldn't mind seeing Carlos Correa, even though he's probably the most hated man in baseball. But he is young. He's very good at the baseball. I think it would depend on the money. But, yeah, I think those three names obviously are going to be interesting. But just a weird one. Gavin Lux would be a name that could potentially come up. I think the Dodgers are going to be losing some depth here. Chris Taylor's a free agent. Trey Turner has one more year. Corey Seager's a free agent, like I just mentioned. Justin Turner's getting up there in age. I think he has two more years of team control. So they do have some things that could be, you know, I think Kershaw's a free agent, Jansen's a free agent, Scherzer's a free agent. Trevor Bauer's probably not coming back. So, like, they've got a lot of pieces that they could be losing. And, you know, Gavin Lux hasn't really performed to the level that the Dodger fans and the Dodger organization was hoping for. And they have a young kid who I think made it up to Double A this year, who they are really, really high on. So I could easily see that being a possibility. I think he makes a lot of sense. The Angels have been wanting some left-handed power. I think Gavin Lux would bring that. He plays a pretty good shortstop. And, yeah, I think it would just be fun to see the Angels get a young guy who could really hold down shortstop for 5 or 6 years. Because Simmons, I guess, 2 or 3 years. But, yeah, it's been a while since we've had an everyday guy that it's like, hey, this guy's penciled in at shortstop for the foreseeable future. So that's kind of the one name that stood out to me.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it off the record earlier today and, you know, kind of hinted that we might talk about it today on the podcast. But, yeah, it is – Gavin Lux makes a lot of sense. The Angels have had, you know, some luck with trading with the Dodgers in the past. And I air quote, in a sense, luck, because there was a trade that got, you know, vetoed by a certain person in the Angel organization. We don't need to go into that. It's in the past. But, you know, that is there, and like you said, Gavin Lux does kind of make a lot of sense to me. I'm kind of in on that. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what direction they go, and we can stay with the shortstop news. And Perry also said that he could see David Fletcher moving to shortstop next year. It's been discussed, but it's not a definite. I worry about that. Like, I wouldn't be upset to see David Fletcher and Mike Stefanik, or David Fletcher and Luis Renifo up the middle. That wouldn't bother me in the least bit. But as long as David Fletcher is batting in the nine hole, I think the Angels will be okay, and as long as they stay healthy. Though I just don't think that David Fletcher is really a shortstop at the end of the day.
Putting him at shortstop, too, I don't know how much better that makes your defense. Like, is there a shortstop or a second baseman out there that you're just like, oh my gosh, he's going to be a automatic gold glover. He's going to make us better. And he's going to save us money from going to get a big name free agent shortstop where we're going to go get Max Scherzer or, you know, maybe a Justin Verlander or something like that. Because if you're just moving David Fletcher to short because, you know, you think he makes a better shortstop, I think that's a big mistake because, honestly, if you're moving him there, for me, it's got to be a money thing. You know, shortstops tend to make more than second basemen, and, you know, if pitching really is going to be a priority, then I guess. But you just got to sign the big guys if that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, if you're moving David Fletcher to shortstop, you better be spending $50 million on pitching this offseason. You know, end of story for me. I think that's kind of where I'm going to stand. And it's probably going to change for me a little bit, and you guys will probably hear it on this podcast saying that, you know, hey, the Angels should go get Carlos Correa, or hey, the Angels should go get, you know, this guy or that guy, or trade for somebody. And I think a trade possibility makes a lot more sense than going and signing somebody just because of the needs that the Angels have. However, if the Angels were to get Scherzer and Verlander and Kershaw and, you know, fill the bullpen with dudes, then I would probably not be upset with seeing David Fletcher at shortstop at the end of the day. Just my two cents on it. So on to the next thing, and Perry said that he would not label any prospects or players as untouchable in terms of being traded. I would assume there are probably two or three untouchables, and that's Trout, Rendon, and Otani. However, in Otani,
I would say it's just Trout or Otani.
Yeah, yes. I don't disagree with that, you know, but I don't think anybody's really going to trade for Anthony Rendon.
Doesn't mean he's not untouchable. It just means that no one's going to trade for him.
Yeah, and I'm sure teams are going to, you know, maybe call about Rendon or maybe call about Trout or maybe call about Otani, and you know, it's going to get shut down real quick just because they have to have that. But yeah, that kind of really shows that the Angels are going to be making some big moves. Like last year, I think it was, or the last, you know, offseason under Billy Epler, it was Adele's a no-go, Marsh is a no-go, or maybe it was last season, Perry's, you know, first season here, it was Adele, Marsh, Rodriguez, and Detmers. You can't touch them, and now, you know, everybody is a possibility. So, yeah, I think we're going to talk about it a lot this offseason. It's going to be a big offseason for the Angels, and it'll be very interesting to see at the end of the day what happens. And kind of a big thing that happened this offseason, too, was the injuries. And the next thing that Perry and those guys had to say was that they're going to, you know, really look into why all the injuries happened. And one of the big injuries was Chris Rodriguez, and they're already expecting him to not be ready for spring training. But they did say Mike Trout should be ready for spring training, which we're one day into the offseason here, I guess 2 days into the offseason. Does it really worry you, you know, that we're talking about Mike Trout, who's been out since May, and Chris Rodriguez, who's been out since July, August, you know, that those guys aren't going to be ready for spring training, which is 3-4 months away?
100%, Jared. And I think it really goes back to our conversation a week or two ago where it was, hey, what in the heck is going on with our training stuff, and what in the heck is going on with our weight room? Like, are we taking care of business, or is it like a loosey-goosey system where, you know, you go in, do whatever you want, and you get out? There's no structure. There's no no guidelines or no suggestions. It's really just, hey, go in, get huge, and get out. And then the trainer room just like, hey, I remember in high school where, you know, if a guy gets hurt, it's, oh, just go put some ice on it and stem, it'll be fine. It's like, the guy's got a broken ankle. What do you mean put some ice and stem on it? That's not going to help anything. So, like, it's a big deal to me to know what's going on in there. And I think that this really screams what is going on there, because we had a lot of injuries this year. We had a lot of long-term injuries where it was, you know, the Dexter Fowler one, kind of a freak one, torn ACL. But, like, the Trout one, that should not have been the entire season. Chris Rodriguez was out for a long time. And I do think that this, with Chris Rodriguez, just shows that he needs to be in the bullpen. I know a lot of Angel fans thought, you know, he looked good as a starter. He looked good out of the pen as well. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, this guy's going to be in the starting rotation for the next 5-6 years. But I think just looking at his injury history and everything, it makes way more sense for this guy to stay in the bullpen and monitor him a little bit more closely and make sure that he can pitch some big innings for the Angels later on in August, September out of the pen and almost be that Frankie Rodriguez from, you know, the 2002 team.
Yeah. With Chris Rodriguez, we mentioned that Francisco Rodriguez comp, and it's eerily similar in a sense, that violent delivery with the disgusting off-speed pitch and a changeup in the works and the fastball that plays up. It just has the makings of Francisco Rodriguez written all over it. And Frankie's, in my opinion, a borderline Hall of Famer for what he did in his tenure with the Angels. And he went to the Mets and was really good. And he had a long, you know, really good career. But, yeah, back onto the injuries, I don't know. Like I said, I'm that's just not something that I've ever questioned or asked about in the organization, and it might be something to question and ask about, but yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's the weirdest of things to me that, you know, these injuries are happening, and I really do wish I knew more. I couldn't tell you guys. I have no clue. So last order of business here, I think we're going to kind of keep this one short since we went longer on Monday with this podcast. Who do you want to see in center field next year? It's not a trick question either. Like, do you want or Trout?
I know. I mean, Mike Trout is obviously a great answer, and I think it depends on what Trout looks like when he comes back. Is he still nursing an injury, or is he ready to go? I think long-term, Mike Trout makes the most sense in right field, honestly. I do. I think Brandon Marsh played a really, really good center field. Obviously, this could easily change if a Brandon Marsh trade happens and, you know, we go get a dude on the mound, and it's like, well, you know, Trout in center is not the worst option. But from a physical body standpoint, center field is one of the hardest positions to play. One of the easiest spots to get hurt. And, you know, Mike Trout, honestly, by the metrics, is a below-average center fielder. So does he need to be out there? No. Could he do exactly the same thing in right field? Probably. It's not going to change his hitting. He is going to continue to go out there and rake. So I think Brandon Marsh in center field would not be the worst thing in the world. And I think, honestly, it makes the Angels better, because I think Joe Adell plays a better left field than he does right field. And that's weird to say, but I think he does. I mean, we saw this. I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a weird tangent here, but we saw this with Ichiro when he came over from Japan. They said he was a center fielder. They said he would play center field 160 games a year, and he told the Mariners, like, no, I'm playing right field. And they were like, why? He was like, because I know playing right field, I will not get hurt. And that was a big thing with Ichiro. He wanted to play every single day, and he did not want to be hurt. And he said playing center field was too rough on his body. So I think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see Mike Trout in right field next year and Brandon Marsh starting in center field, especially the way he ended his season in August, September.
I'm in agreement with you. Mike Trout makes his money on the offensive side of things, and he's the best offensive player in baseball, and that's not going to go away from him for a while until the bat slows down, because it'll inevitably slow down. But I've asked this question before. What does Trout look like when he's not Mike Trout? You know, like, does he turn into Nelson Cruz? You know, like, he's not quite as fast. You know, he's not going to be a good defender, but he's still going to rake. And we're seeing Nelson Cruz still play baseball, and he's, what, 41, 42? So Like, I don't think Mike Trout's going anywhere, and I think he's going to end up being the best player in baseball. And moving him to right field can only make him better. And that's a really weird thing to say. I don't know, you know, if that makes a lot of sense, but Trout's like basically getting dinged for being in center field and not being very good defensively. If he went to right field or left field and became an average defender, he would become that much more valuable. Like, when you look at WAR, like, not the defense is really taking him down at all in WAR, but it kind of, you know, in a sense is. Like, he could be a 10-win player every single year because of just the bat and being an average player instead of, or a slightly above average defender in right, you know. So I'm with you there. I think that it, you know, takes some toll off his body, and he can still go out there and play defense. He still has the arm to go play in the outfield. You know, he keeps his longevity a little bit longer. And again, like, when Mike Trout gets, you know, worse, what does he turn into? Nelson Cruz. And Nelson Cruz is still absolutely mashing the ball and might end up being, probably is going to be a borderline Hall of Famer when it's all said and done because of the back half of his career. So
he won't get because of the steroids.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, but so be it.
And I think there's another guy you can compare him to is Torii Hunter, which I know is a lot of Angel fans' favorite player from that, you know, 2010 to 2014 era. I think that's basically what he becomes, is a little bit more offensive threat, Torii Hunter, where he's going to have fun out there. He's going to be a leader, quiet leader, of course, but he's still going to be a dude on the field. And I think Torii Hunter, yeah, he made the switch from center to right, and he still played relatively good defense. So that's kind of what you would hope for out of Trout, is his defense gets a little better. He still rakes, and, you know, Brandon Marsh plays really good defense in center, and Joe Adell plays good defense in left. And you're looking up saying, wow, this outfield is really fast, really athletic, and doesn't let the ball drop, the no-fly zone.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what the Angels outfield could be. For a while there, the Angels had one of the best defensive outfields in baseball, and we don't need to talk about what the Angels have done defensively lately, because it just hasn't been good, to say the least. So that's, you know, if
your boy makes it hard to be good.
Yeah, who's my boy?
Justin Upton.
Yeah, so be it. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that Trout going to right field can only make him better. And if, you know, you want to compare him to, you know, a better hitting Torii Hunter, a, you know, a Nelson Cruz offensively, Torii Hunter defensively, back half of his career, you know, Trout's going in, you know, the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer for what he's done in the first half of his career. And I want to see Trout, you know, win a World Series. I want to see Trout go to the playoffs as an Angel. I want to see Trout finish his career as an Angel and just continue to be Mike Trout. So, Nate, any final thoughts here before we let everybody go?
Nope. Just excited to continue to watch playoff baseball. Hopefully next year we're talking about the Angels and who they're going to be playing in the first round of the playoffs. So.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. We'll be able to keep the everyday podcast going at that point, or at least Monday through Friday. And yeah, you know, I'm excited to talk a little off-season Angels baseball and clue everybody in on the postseason. And yeah, so Red Sox won as well. You know, I guess
the hope begins now.
Yeah, yes, it does. So, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can follow us on all of our social medias: Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on Twitter at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate on Twitter at NateGreen34. Go complain to him. He loves it. If you want to join us for a podcast, just shoot me a message on Twitter. And guys, thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.